Welcome to Heartbeat, the podcast of the Heart Women's Ministry. Heart is a Catholic women's ministry whose vision is to encourage women in their faith, in their life, and in who God's created them to be. This is a place where you'll hear from some amazing women share from their heart to your heart about who God is, what God's doing in their life, and how they're doing their very best to live out their faith. We pray that you are blessed and inspired. Enjoy Heartbeat. Hello everyone and welcome to Heart. Welcome to our podcast for this week. My name is Emma and I'm here again with Michaela.
Hello guys.
Hey Michaela, how are you doing today?
I'm doing really well, how are you?
Excellent, I'm good. My daughter went off to a sleepover at school today. So
that's exciting.
Yeah, I dropped her off to school and I don't have to pick her up till tomorrow afternoon.
Wow.
So yeah, what will I do with myself tonight? I don't know.
Watch a movie or something.
Yeah, probably. But yeah, no, I'm doing really, really well. Now, this week, we want to talk about Rosemary's Weekly Heartbeat again this week. And this week, the topic we're going to talk about is really topical at the moment, and it's the topic of loneliness. It's something that we've all experienced at different times in our lives.
Yeah.
And I think particularly at the moment, especially in Australia where we are with the coronavirus and even across the whole world, we all in some way, I think, experienced loneliness and that just feeling of being isolated and alone. But we know with Rosemary sharing, it doesn't end there, that there is hope, and that she shared a bit of her story about how Jesus became her comforter and her friend during times of her loneliness in her life. So we're really going to unpack that today, talk about how it's been for Michaela and I in our lives.
Sweet. I don't really have much to add to that. That was a good intro.
Good.
But loneliness, yes. I had the same thought when I started watching the video. I was thinking, wow. I think there's a lot of times in Rosemary's videos, I've heard someone else say this as well, that you can say, me too, I felt that as well, or I've experienced that in some way or another. And so, yeah, loneliness, I agree, is a very relatable topic. Everyone's felt it in some way or another, even if it's kind of in different circumstances. I'm excited to talk about it today.
Cool. I was thinking how there's different types of loneliness we can experience over time. I think particularly when you're a little kid, there's that like schoolyard loneliness. You know, I don't have anyone to play with type thing. But you find like that can extend into your life. It doesn't mean it's any less serious. We know it is. I remember what that felt like when I was at school and you sometimes didn't feel like you had any friends to talk to. There's also loneliness. You can be at work, feel like you're all alone, don't have anyone to relate to. Rosemary shared about how when you feel called to a certain mission, a certain task that either God's called you to, and you feel like it's something you have to do, you can feel lonely in that. Like you're the only one who's doing it, but you know you have to because you've been called to it, so you kind of take that on. I was kind of thinking more recently in my life, a time of loneliness in my life was actually when I had my daughter Hannah, and she's 13 now, so it was a while ago. But yeah, when I had my daughter Hannah, I was 22 23, and I was the first of all my friends to have children. And all my friends were either still at uni or had just started working, and so I'm home by myself with this baby, and my daughter Hannah needed several operations. We're at physio all the time, hospital all the time for different things, and just feeling really lonely because there was no one around me who was in that situation. One, who didn't have a kid or had a child like me, but also because my child had a disability and had health issues, there was that extra loneliness of even if someone did have a baby, they couldn't relate to that. And then as they're getting, my daughter got older, she'd gone to school. All my friends then have their children.
So they all have babies.
Yeah, they have babies and then I don't. So I catch up with them for different things. They've all got their babies and I don't. I'm the only one, you know. So there was that element at times of feeling alone in that. But to be honest, just knowing I had God in my life and I knew that, you know, I was blessed to be a mum, they're the kind of things that got me through, and having my mum around and then my husband. But yeah, that's probably the most recent time I can think of just feeling really alone because no one was in the same situation.
I can think of a few like patches in my life. Kind of, if my life was a patchwork quilt, there would be a few that had the word lonely on them. One of them was when I graduated school, because I feel like when I was at school, it was very structured and you were constantly surrounded by people of your age, mm-hmm. similar kind of, everyone's going through puberty and the same experiences, so
yep.
you could very easily relate. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, the first season I can think of that was very lonely was graduating, mm. and I moved out of home straight away after graduating.
Wow,
so,
young.
Yeah, I was 18. I actually moved from Canberra in Australia to Sydney, which is 2.5 hours, 3 hours away, and I had some family there, but at the time they were traveling overseas, so I was in a new job with people who were a lot older than me and living by myself and a brand new city. So that was kind of a season that I can think of off the top of my head. Another season I can think of is actually a newer one,
mm.
very new. Emma knows that.
Yep.
I actually moved again this year with my husband. We were living in Sydney in the beginning of the year, and then around March, just before coronavirus hit, we actually moved to Perth, where his family is from, with ministry. So, new city again, a country's length this time.
Yeah.
And that same feeling of kind of, I'm surrounded by people that are a bit older than me. Same as you, I guess, in your other story, like people are in having different experiences.
Yeah.
Some of our friends who are closer to our age, they're buying houses, they have kids now. So because we're not quite in that stage yet, yeah, I can relate to that. And yeah, but I guess something that's been helping me is that, similar to you, I know that God is part of it, and he's been a really comforting presence. I'm sure to a lot of people, the ability to be still can be either something terrifying because I feel like as humans we fill our time with distractions.
Sometimes we don't know what to do if we're still. Yeah, I'm like that. Yeah,
yeah, I'm the same. Yeah. But having that season in coronavirus of being still can actually be a blessing, and that's what it's been to me, spiritually, giving me a chance to kind of restart, rehash, and ask what he wants for me in this season. And the other thing that's helped me is that people, I think, have seen, maybe not seen my loneliness, but maybe thought that I could be lonely, and they've started inviting me to join them in different things, which has been really great. Mm,
that's cool. Yeah. It's probably not the exact same story, but similar to what Rosemary shared when she moved across the country, similar thing with her husband for kind of ministry as well, I suppose. What I really loved when Rosemary was sharing and was that with Jesus, you're never alone.
Yeah.
Like she had found him as that real comfort, and I'd have to say the same. So when you are by yourself, he's always there.
Mm.
He's always present. Like
yeah.
we might have to call on him and I suppose us become aware of that.
Yeah.
But we know that he's there, and he's always that friend who wants to listen to us, encourage us. He's always faithful. He's the ultimate, like, encompassing of all the things of a friendship that you want to have.
Yeah.
Like, that is Jesus. He always accepts you for who you are with all our imperfections. And he draws out the best of us. He shows us where we can be better.
And it's funny as well, because I think in times of loneliness, we can be tempted to think like, oh, people say God has all these traits, but he's kind of the invisible friend.
Mm.
Like, we kind of... our loneliness kind of clouds our ability to see God at times, I think. And so it can be really easy to be like, well, yeah, fair enough. Like, people say that God is this and this and this. But, like, it's very easy to be like, but he's not physically, like, sitting next to me.
Yeah.
I can't, like, poke him in the arm and just, you know, hang out like that. And I think maybe that's something that I'm tempted to feel in times of loneliness, because I'm very physical touch in terms of my love languages.
Yeah.
If you don't know what the love languages are, check it out, it's very cool.
Yeah.
That is my temptation. But then when I do kind of take off those loneliness glasses, those lenses, you're right, he does carry a lot of the traits that we seem to look for in a best friend.
Mm.
And that actually leads me to another point that I was thinking of, where I was actually thinking, maybe it's a bit of a weird deep philosophical thought, but I was thinking about when God created humanity, and I was thinking about the fact that God created us with all of our traits, with with all of our emotions. Like, he, sometimes we can hold our emotions against God in a way that, like, you don't understand what I'm feeling. But he actually was the one who created emotion.
Mm. Mm.
Like, every emotion you could feel, he created every facet of those emotions. And to combat that, it's our flesh that makes us use those emotions in the wrong way, not God. But the thing that it made me think of was, if loneliness is created by God, and God understands every facet of that emotion and that feeling in a season, then what is the purpose of it? Because God doesn't create something without a purpose, without a means for it to live up to. So, that's an interesting question to me. Is it because we intrinsically, he wanted us to seek perpetual company because that would make us seek him?
Yeah.
Or was it that... he knew that we needed an emotion that told us that we needed a relationship that is entirely fulfilling, not just fulfilling in a human way, but fulfilling in a divine way, or maybe to encourage us to build community because that's the way that we can draw others to him. So, yeah, that was...
Yeah, so there's a few things there. Yeah, there's the deep longing for him, the desire that can come because of the loneliness that we maybe recognize because of that.
Yeah.
And the second thing, well, I think you said three things. So the third thing was that...
entirely fulfilling relationship.
Yeah, yeah. A relationship that goes beyond what we could ever have humanly.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next thing was the community. Like, it's drawing out of us... I'm trying to think of the right words, but drawing out of us... the desire to create community potentially. And I mean, it's hard when you're in loneliness.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's hard to sometimes think of others because I can, having felt that before, I understand.
Yeah.
Like, you don't sometimes feel that way.
Totally.
But that desire for community is there underneath all of that. Yeah.
And so it makes me think, well, like, just like every other emotion, I think we can kind of put emotions into sort of boxes, like, positive emotions and negative emotions, but I think regardless of what box we would place that in, each emotion in a way kind of points us towards God, whether we realize it or not. So people who, like, even if you have a friend who doesn't believe in God, her loneliness is actually her humanity speaking about needing divinity.
Yeah.
Without her even knowing or maybe even saying, which is something crazy to me.
Yeah, it's like I was thinking about, it's this deep longing to be known and to be known at the depths of who we are. And that's what you were saying before, that fullness. Like, we all want to be known. We want people to know who we are.
Yeah.
And only God can fully know everything about us. Because even, like, you know, with my husband, I try my best to tell him everything. But there's even these deep things that I don't even know sometimes how to express.
Yeah.
That he doesn't know about me. Yeah. But God knows about me.
Yeah, and I think that's, like, a fair thing. Like, I think sometimes we can be like, we can almost blame people for not knowing us fully, but they physically can't.
Yeah, yeah, it's impossible.
And that's the divinity, and that's the awesome mystery in our humanity is that God created us knowing that no other human could know us the way that He knows us. Know us.
Yep.
And and
so we can really use this time, if we're feeling lonely, to draw ourselves closer to him. A very simple scripture that I know in the book of James is, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Like, all you have to do is just a small little lift your eyes to him, a quick prayer, a quick thought, and God's there. Like, it's actually, in that sense, very simple. It makes me think of the next part, that a few things actually, that Rosemary shared about that document, Vermum Dei, which I hadn't heard of, but she said it means the God who speaks. And she talks about how God becomes known through dialogue and that he wants to have this relationship with us and addresses us as friends. So once again, it's coming back to that relationship with him, talking to him so he knows who we are. Well, not so he knows, he already knows. But maybe so we're more aware of it, but that we have a God who wants to have that relationship with us, that intimate talking to us relationship. It also then makes me think about, I try throughout my day to have constant conversation with God,
mm-hmm.
Which I was taught from Bruce Downs about how constant conversation is how we can talk to God all day, and that can be part of our prayer, and that's how we can live out our faith,
mm-hmm.
by constantly just having little thoughts to God. Hey, God, can you help me here? Hey, God, what are you saying about this? Just these thoughts through the day,
yeah.
whatever situation. And when I was listening to Rosemary, it made me think of that constant conversation of having Jesus and God there because I'm talking to him all the time.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, that's really good. I love that. I really loved the relationship aspect that Rosemary brought up, because it does remind me that I think sometimes I can expect God to either give me a relationship with him, or like maybe he's not as interested as he says he is.
Mm.
And maybe that's me protecting myself. But it is a healthy reminder that if I was friends with someone, say you and I, well, we are friends, but say we were, if I never reached out and spoke to you,
yeah.
then eventually, like, you might still reach out and speak to me, but it might be like falling on deaf ears almost.
Yeah, like one way.
Yeah. Yeah. And no one wants a relationship like that. I think you could know things about me, even. Like, you could, you know, be friends with a lot of the same people. Maybe you know a lot about the things I enjoy, or, like, the sort of person that I am, and you keep trying to get to know me. But if I don't return that, then there's never going to be a relationship. You're just going to know about me. And I think that that really is the same with God. It's not like God can just, like, oh, bam, we have a relationship. He can't. Well, he can do anything, but the whole purpose of a relationship is to give and receive. So yeah, I sometimes feel very sorry for God that everyone, well, not everyone, but a lot of the time people might treat him like, I want to receive from you rather than a normal relationship.
You're getting to know you.
Give and receive.
Yeah. Kind of makes me think just then when you're saying, like, I could know about you, I think sometimes, oh, I know I fall into this trap. Like, I might see celebrities on Instagram, Facebook.
Yeah.
Like, it just made me think of this. And how I can tell you probably lots of facts about different people.
Yeah.
But I don't actually know them. Mm-hmm. And then when you probably meet them and get to know them, you've built up this image in your mind that's probably so not what, like, some of them are.
Yeah.
And, like, we can know about God, but there's a different depth and element if we're actually in relationship, knowing him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Something I was thinking about for those of us who maybe aren't feeling lonely is maybe what are some of the things we can do for others in our lives. If right now you're not feeling like that, what can we do for others then?
Yeah,
I thought that might be a good thing. I mean, and some of them I think are kind of like ones we probably already know, which is be there for support, check in with them, invite them out.
Yeah.
Like, just inviting someone out. They can say no, that's fine, but giving them the opportunity. Certainly praying for them, because I just really believe God can change circumstances, and he's there for us in all situations. And I'm becoming more and more convicted about the power of prayer.
Yeah.
And so just simply praying, but then also visiting. I remember when my gran, she passed away last year, but when she was in the nursing home, just going to visit her, you know. Well, I didn't go every week, but maybe every fortnight to a month, you know, I'd go. But we had a lot of family go to see her, but going when I could just to visit her. And at this stage in her life, in the last few years, she couldn't talk or say anything, but it was just being present. And I think I pray was really powerful for her. Do you have any thoughts?
Well, speaking about, like, visiting, I think that's one of the things that made me feel a lot less lonely in the past 6 months or so, is that when we've had people over at our new house for dinner, which has only been a few times, it almost in a crazy way changes the feeling and the atmosphere of the house. So, like, for a while it felt like, oh, our house is like a lonely place, it's a place where I'm by myself a lot, it's a place where I wish I had people over but I don't know enough people to invite them to. But hosting people actually kind of shifted that that from a place of like, oh, I'm here alone a lot, to like this place is filled with, starting to fill with memories, and fill with kind of a desire to fill the house with people. It kind of perpetuates this like desire for me to build community. So those ways of reaching out to people really, whether it takes away their loneliness completely or not doesn't really matter, but it can perpetuate like this desire to seek more and desire to grow in the area of interaction with people, as opposed to wallowing.
And like, we're privileged at the moment where we live, we're allowed to have people over now, but for some people who can't, I know that particularly when we were not allowed to have visitors over at our house with my sister and I, we were still allowed to exercise, which I'm pretty sure lots of places still are. We would meet every Thursday at 4:30 at the park and walk for the hour, just because it was an extra, you know, human interaction. So like, you know, if you can't actually have visitors, just having some sort of either exercise, and our exercise was walking. Seriously, it was not hard. But, or even just on the phone all the time, you know.
Every Sunday my family from over east, they have a video chat on Zoom. And it's every Sunday for them, 4 p.m. for me too, because of the time difference. And we just chat sometimes for half an hour, sometimes for an hour, sometimes, you know, the time varies. But after that call, I always feel kind of rejuvenated and ready to kind of reach out rather than wait for people to reach out to me, which is something really cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome.
So one of the last things that Rosemary spoke about was how being with God is, he always invites us. He always invites us in. And I thought about that, and it's kind of crazy because you were speaking earlier about how, oh, why don't you invite someone to something and they could say no. And I think God does the same thing, you know. He invites us, and he gives us the free will to say yes or no to spending time with him. But the cool thing with God is that it's not like a one-time opportunity and then the event passes and you kind of missed your chance to hang out. It's an open invitation. And it reminds me of those friends where you can kind of pop over at their house even... You don't have to call first, you know. I had some amazing friends like that in
Wollongong. That's comfortable, isn't it? Yeah.
Where their house, here's a cheeky thing, their house was constantly unlocked, even when no one was home. So I would walk to their house. I lived down the road, and I would walk up their very steep driveway. I'd walk in the back door. No one would be home, and I would just sit on the couch and wait for someone to come home from work to hang out. And I think much like that, that's what our relationship with God is like. He has this house that he's built for us, aka relationship with him or his kingdom, and the door is always unlocked, and we can always just go in that door and sit there, and he'll make us at home and he'll hang out with us, which I think is really cool. And the awesome thing is, we could, like, I don't think that invitation would be open to me if I had rejected those girls and been like quite dismissive of them and kind of, you know, had negative feelings towards them and kind of spoken that out towards them. I think they would be like, okay, well, maybe don't come over anymore. But that's the crazy thing about God, is that we could say horrible things to him, we could sin a million times, we could whatever, and he still leaves the door unlocked, and he still kind of wants us to come over, and he still lets us know, hey, come over to my place, hey, come hang out with me, hey, my couch is really cool and comfy, come sit with me. And that's something that I really love, and it really it reminds me of that kind of parenthood that he has with us, that we're really his children. The relationship with a child and a parent is that of being both simultaneously fully known and gently kind of called out. And not called out in a way that is like, you're the worst, but in a way that calls us onward. And so he says, you know, maybe you shouldn't be doing that, but come over to my place and we'll talk about it. And maybe we can come up with a plan.
Mm.
And I love that. It's intimate. It's really something that no other human could provide, like we said earlier. Mm. And human parents fail us at times, I think. I can think back to ways that maybe my relationship with my parents wasn't very healthy, and that impacted both parties in different times of my life. But God never fails us. He never fails us in that place of authority, and he always kind of guides us to a rich place where we're both in soil that's fertile to grow, and maybe in some rougher terrain where it's trickier to grow. Mm. But once we do, you know, it's awesome. So I really like to think of kind of being in the household of God. He's the head of the house, and
yep.
The door's always unlocked. And yeah, I guess the thing that makes me finish that thought is that we can reach a point in a relationship where you're kind of like, okay, I know all there is to know about this person.
Mm.
Like, especially when you've known them, you know, your whole life, like a parent maybe, you're like, okay, I know a lot about my parent. Yeah. I know everything there is to know about them, and they probably know the same about me. But I think that, like a relationship with your parent, because parents often, as their kid gets older, they kind of feel freer to share mm-hmm. with them. I think as we mature in our faith, God kind of gives us that little bit more to deepen what's already there.
Yep.
And I can say with confidence that that's certainly been the truth of my journey, that whether I'm feeling particularly close to him or not, there's always a little bit more that he's going to give me if I just seek that little bit more.
Mm.
And I think that's kind of, if loneliness was an equation, I think that that's kind of the answer. Even though it doesn't necessarily take our loneliness away, I think that it softens that blow and it gives it purpose.
To go deeper with him.
Mm.
Yeah. So this week for the weekly challenge, I want you to think of someone that you could reach out to. Now, I know this could be really hard and tough, especially if right now you're feeling lonely, but if you can, why don't you ask God to help you to think of someone that maybe you can reach out to have a conversation, post them a letter, send them a letter, send them a message, and see what comes about because of you stepping out. The other thing I want to say is if you are feeling lonely at the moment and you need to talk to someone, then don't hesitate to reach out, to call your doctor, to go see a counselor.
Mm-hmm.
There are people out there who want to help and want to love you and help you through this.
Yeah.
So don't hesitate to reach out if you need to, and we will certainly be praying for you.
Worship song of the week.
All right, so each week I bring up a worship song that has been affecting me in my faith journey, or maybe that someone else has brought up to me within their faith journey that I've listened to and I've been like, wow, that is powerful. So this week, our worship song of the week is a song named Better by a man named Pat Barrett. He is originally from a church in America called House Fires, which are pretty popular. And this song is one of my favorites at the moment. Its chorus begins with the lyrics, Your word is better than life, or your words are better than life. And oftentimes after listening to a song a couple of times and listening to the lyrics more than the music, that's when they're most powerful to me. After listening to this song a few times, I actually felt really challenged in kind of an annoyed way. I was like, why are you singing about something that is so on par with what's going on in the world? And I think it really challenged me to look at my life in a way that isn't circumstance focused, but it's actually blessing focused. And it's focused on kind of the kingdom more than worldly things and maybe the desires that I have that aren't necessarily that pure. And so this song speaks really boldly about how unimportant these things become when we have a revelation of God's love and how fulfilling that can be, knowing him deeply. I really hope you listen to this song and that you really enjoy it. And please feel free to comment on our website or even to leave a review speaking about how this song may have affected you.
So!
What?
The scripture we're going to look at this week is in Psalm 46, verses 1 to 3. And it says this: God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. Now, this psalm is a psalm that's extremely encouraging. It praises God for who he is and for the strength that he gives us in the times of trouble in our life. And it reminds us that God is always with us. You know, how do you use this scripture? Well, you can remember and remind yourself that God is your strength, that he's always there to encourage you. You know, it says it's God is our refuge. And when I think of refuge, I think of something that I take comfort in. I think of a shelter. So it means that we can take comfort in being in God's presence. So when we're having those times of struggle in our lives, whether it's loneliness or hardship in other ways, we can ask God by a simple prayer to come and comfort us and to be our strength. By simply even saying those words, God, would you be my strength? We can trust in him always. And the verses continue and they talk about how, you know, the earth could give way and the mountains fall down, which I imagine that as in my world is falling apart, like literally. But the first verse says, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. God is always there. So the reality is that when we have difficult times, God promises to be there for us. He promises to be our refuge when everything is falling down. And we can always rely on him no matter what. So if you're going through a hard time at the moment, then just call out to God, cry out to him. He wants you to cry out to him. And he is always there to protect you and to help you through. It doesn't mean that those circumstances necessarily go away, unfortunately, but it does mean that God's there for you to help you through it all. So I really hope you get something from that this week.
Spotlight. Each week we like to shed a spotlight on something that may have been helping us within our journey with God or maybe inspired us. And this week I actually want to hit something that I haven't done before in one of our spotlights. It's a little bit unique, but it's something really cool and it's something that really helped me. So there's this young Christian mother on social media. She has a couple of different platforms and her name is Milena, I hope I say her last name right, Cicciotti or Cicciotti. And she has a couple of babies. They're all very cute. And she and her husband do some really cool things. They have a podcast. They have a couple of different channels going on. And they have a really great impact online. But the thing I actually wanted to talk about this week was a free Bible study that Milena wrote. Now, she claims herself as well at the beginning of this Bible study that she's not a writer, she's not a blogger, she's just an ordinary woman who wants to encourage other women in their relationship with God. And she released this on her website for free to download, so I'll give you the link at the end of this. And it's a 7-day study. Ruth is one of actually two books in the entire Bible that is named after a woman. So that's pretty special. And the book of Ruth is actually considered to be a beautiful love story between Ruth and Naomi and Ruth and Boaz. And ultimately, ultimately in the end, it's actually a love story about God's redemption plan for you. This book is really short, so it's really easy to get through, but it's so powerful and it's only got 4 short chapters. And the compactness of this book is actually really handy, not because it means less reading, but rather because it means that there's the ability to reread and reread without feeling like there's too much content to consume. And a lot of people don't realize that that every single word in the Bible is actually very intentionally chosen. So the fact that you can reread and go back over these 4 chapters means that you can really get a really rich amount of meaning out of it. This study came at a time when I was really struggling to kind of regulate and regulate and stabilize my routine for studying scripture and delving into the word, because the Bible does seem so big, ginormous and overwhelming. And so I really hope you enjoy this resource and that it can kind of help you in the same way that it helped me. If you want to access this Bible study, go to www.milenacicciotti, I'll spell it out, MILENACICIOTTI.com/7-day-study, 7-day-study. I'll try and include a link in the description this week so that you can go and download it because it's been super handy.
Awesome. That was our podcast for this week. We hope that you've enjoyed it, and we really pray that God would bless you with it and that there are some things there that would encourage you in your journey at the moment. Our weekly challenge for this week was to think of someone that you could reach out to. You know, for some of us that could be a struggle, so I just encourage you to take the step, make a phone call, even if it's to someone, you know how there's people in your life that's just easy to call, and do it. Just reach out to someone, because you never know what that will do for them, and you don't know what that will do for yourself as well. I think it can be really encouraging.
Yeah. So another thing I want to encourage you to do is, if you're listening to this podcast on our website, we would love it if you would comment down below, or if you're listening to it on iTunes or iPodcast, we'd love it if you would leave a review for us. Each week we get really, really excited when people comment, and we both read them and send Facebook messages to each other, getting very excited.
This week
we wanted to shout out a woman named Leonie for leaving a really beautiful long comment underneath our podcast about the votive candles.
Yeah.
And we both got very excited, so I really hope that we can interact with you a little bit more. Leave a comment down below and follow us on our social media, Heart Ministry for Women. Facebook and Instagram.
That's right. Follow us, like us, share us with other people in your life. That would be absolutely amazing. So we hope that you have a great week this week, and we look forward to chatting with you again next week.
Bye.